Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Our 3-day core challenge is open now for you to join in. Sign up and you'll get direct access to daily core-focused classes.
Yes, and they're both Pilates and yoga. Mm-hmm. And they're really short, literally less than 10 minutes.
Exactly. So if you think you don't have time to work out, think you're again. You do, because these are online, on demand. You can do them from the comfort of wherever you are, whenever you want. So come and join us for our 3-day core challenge. Head over to themerrymakersisters.com/core-challenge and sign up. This is episode 275 on the Get Merry podcast. In just 25 episodes, we're going to be at 300.
Wow.
I'm very excited about that. This episode, we're asking you the question, are you a shopaholic?
Dun, dun, dun. And I feel like it's really good timing to be talking about this subject as we head into the holiday season, Christmas. Which I know has many different meanings for many people all over the world, but for a lot of people, really it just means presents and stuff. Let's be honest. It's a consumer-driven holiday.
And a lot of food.
What's Christmas mean? I eat all the buffet.
You might want to go ahead and listen to the binge eating episode if that one resonates. But no, we're talking more about the stuff and the presents. Yes, shopaholics unite. Because I guess what could we call us? Because there's like we need like a Shopaholics Anonymous.
So but you're not a shopaholic.
I would know, but you know how you're always a shopaholic. Once a shopaholic, you're always a shopaholic.
No, I definitely disagree with you, Carla. 100%, because you are a recovered shopaholic.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was always a part of me.
No, it's not. It wasn't a part of you. Society made it part of you, or whatever, like our lives. Mm. You definitely were a shopaholic though, and you had like a weird relationship with money and credit cards, as in like when mum would pay on credit card, you would think it was free money, wouldn't you?
I just didn't understand.
Yeah. That's so interesting.
We need to be taught this in school.
You know, no, mum should have just said.
No, but you know what's in.
No, this gets paid later.
Yeah, but you know what's so crazy? Because credit card, what you feel like you're in credit.
Yeah.
So the banks give you this card. Hey, do you want $2,500 to spend?
But actually, you're in debt.
It's actually, hey, spend this money and you have to pay it back.
And if you don't, we're going to charge you a heap of interest on top of that.
Yeah. So I really, like, it is all part of the brand of the credit card. Like, there was a reason behind calling it a credit card.
Oh, the psychological reasons.
Yeah, because, you know, otherwise it's a debt card. Which is what it is.
Literally, that is what it should be called.
I did have a strange understanding, a deluded understanding of credit cards. And I think that really did impact the way that I treated money, my relationship with money, and specifically mum's credit card. And it was also something that was a very enjoyable experience and it felt really special.
To go shopping.
Yeah.
Well, as we all know, or maybe not as we all know, but when you do make a purchase, you get that little dopamine hit.
It's like, ding!
Yeah, so you like that feeling. But then might come the buyer's remorse where you feel deflated or regretful or why did I spend that? Like, I don't have that much money. Mm-hmm. Now I feel really sick and anxious and bad. And it can be this really unhealthy cycle of spending up, shopping, then realizing I overspent my budget. Mm-hmm. Now I have to now I don't have enough money for food, for necessities, for bills. And you have this constant stress then. Mm. This is like, we're not only are we huge believers in living within your means. Mm-hmm. We're huge believers in even living below your means. And not like as in like restricting yourself from what you want, but really we value saving.
Yeah.
And I know I've always valued saving, actually. Mm-hmm. Like, I've always been a saver. Mm-hmm. I was like one of those kids who all of a sudden I had like $5,000 in my bank when I was like, how old? 14 or 15. Yeah, 15. So cool. And I was like, this is for my car. Like, I knew for my future car. I didn't even have my license. I hated driving. Remember, like, yeah. On my L's, I hated driving, uh-huh. But I owned a car. Mm-hmm. It was really funny. And
you bought a car before you had your license.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I did.
It was very cool.
How weird is that? Like, now that I think about it, it's really cool.
You had a little Daihatsu steering wheel, a little sandy color.
Yeah, and it had no power steering.
It was so hard to drive.
But it was so small that it was, like, pretty easy.
Such a cute car.
Yeah, it matched me.
Yeah, no, so you were always a saver.
But I still loved shopping.
You did, but you also, so when we're talking, like, when Mum used to take us shopping, when Mum would go and say, oh, I'll buy that for you. Oh, yeah. When it was, like, for me, and because you would not really say what you want. Like,
no.
You would not be like, I really want this, whereas I was like, I really want this.
I would never.
I'd be like, I need this new dress, and Mum would buy it for me, and you would get, like, quite angry about it.
Well, because it would annoy me that she spends all her money on you and, like, excessive amounts of money sometimes. And I felt bad. Every time Mum bought me something, I almost would feel guilty. And I think it's because I was more aware of money struggles. Mm. Like, I heard Mum and Dad fighting about money all the time.
Yeah, I don't remember this.
Like,
I know what happened, but I obviously just chose to ignore it.
Yeah, like, no, I was really aware of the struggles that Dad would feel.
Yeah, I think there was obviously an understanding. Like, I knew we weren't going on any, like, extravagant holidays, and I knew that, like, sometimes, you know, I would actually always put, like, the home brand stuff in the trolley when we'd go shopping. I would always do that. I was never someone who was ashamed of a bargain. You know how sometimes as a kid you would know that some kids would be ashamed of having the cheaper brand or the not so good brand. I was never ashamed. I was more of a person, more is more. Even if it's the cheap one, like, give me more. Oh, we're shopping at Best and Less? That's fine. Like,
but then you also shopped at expensive shops as well. No, I know.
So it was one extreme to the next. It was like I would shop at these, like, Target and Kmart, and then we'd go to these boutique stores and buy, like, all these extravagant dresses. And you know what I would do? This is like, I feel like this is a shopaholic to a T. I'd like open my wardrobe and like look at it and love it. And I would like color code it. And I'd be like, look at all my dresses. My friends would come over and they'd be like, oh my God, look at all your dresses. And I would let them borrow them. And I would be like, yeah, you can borrow my dresses. I was the friend with the really nice dresses.
And I find it, you know, like,
I loved it. I did.
But I love it too. Like, I love that you're into that, and I think it's okay. I think it's actually
my wardrobe now.
No, but I think you could almost come, like, you know, like, to a next stage, because we'll go through the stage, I guess. Like, we have before on many episodes, we talked about, you know, discovering minimalism and realizing that the obsession with stuff doesn't bring more joy, it brings more suffering, and that, you know, actually more isn't always more. Like, we don't need to, like, be on this treadmill of, like, keeping up with trends. We don't need to get the new, even it's not just clothes. I mean, when we were young, it was just clothes and the stuff we wear. But then when you move out, it's like your crockery, it's your doona covers, it's your pillows, it's your cushions. It's like, no, I need to update my dining table. Uh-huh. And,
or, like, then it goes a step further. Like, then I need to, like, buy a new house or renovate this entire house.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, we definitely got this from our mum. And Mum won't mind us talking about this because she's, you know, realised it herself too. And our mum got it from her mum. Mm. And she really never realised it. But it's a real thing, and it can really stop our happiness and our joy levels. Mm. And it creates so much friction, especially at home in relationships, like, for sure. Mm-hmm. if you're a shopaholic and your partner is not a shopaholic, and if your money is joint or whatever, or like impacts each other, which it does, whether or not your money is joint or not, like it still impacts each other if you're living together. Like that's a big deal. And it's an unnecessary thing if you work through it and stop being a shopaholic.
Yeah. So I think the starting point is being aware of this
thing. Like, and having a good hard look at yourself, like, and you know, your wardrobe.
Yeah. And I guess looking at where you and your wardrobe or anything. Maybe it's that you have an obsession with wine glasses, or you just simply can't buy enough makeup or skin products. That is totally a thing. Oh my God.
The skin product is a thing.
I remember even when I would like do grocery shopping with mum, again, young, but I would still do this when I was older. I would go to like the health beauty aisle and just look at everything.
Yeah.
Just look at it all. What do I need? Do I need a new moisturizer? Like, oh, an eye cream. Like, mum's best friend told us we should use eye cream, like, from age 14. So, like, I was obsessed with, like, skin products as well. And I loved having heaps. Like, I had a caddy, like a wheelie caddy.
Oh, my.
Of products.
Nail polish.
Nail polish. Makeup.
So many nail polish.
Skin cleansers. Everything. Like, just give me it all. I want a whole shop in my bedroom of it.
My God, it's actually insane.
Obscene is the word. So, yeah, I think it's having a moment of reflection to just look at your life and where you're spending your money, because where we spend our money is telling us what we value the most in our life. So where are we spending our money? Also where we're spending our time is also a thing that tells us what we value.
And I love that. Okay, so if it is your clothes and like, what do you value? Okay, you value your look, and maybe you value fashion. I think, you know, there is that line where, like, you know, fashion is creative, it is art, it is an expression of yourself, but it also can be damaging to other areas of your life, as in like your money and your stability, which like impacts everything. So that's when it's like you need to not be so into fashion and using your creativity that way. But you can still be into it, but maybe just not so much. Like, don't buy so much. Like, read about it.
And repurpose stuff you already have. And be creative in what you already have, which is, to me, the most creative thing you could do. Like,
that's
creating
so true.
Something from what you already have.
Ooh, and like, hello, we haven't even talked about this yet. The whole sustainability thing of fashion, and especially fast fashion. And the fact that it's not even like the super cheap brands that are fast fashion. Even more expensive brands are fast fashion too. So, you know, now more than ever, more brands are getting on board with sustainability and talking about their ethics and how they operate more. But it's still a big deal.
And then, so these brands, which are obviously more sustainable, more ethical, more expensive to make, because that is the truth. Like, they're getting different fabrics, which are not bulk made.
They're not using cheap labor.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Like,
so
horrible.
To me, in a way, this actually helps with the shopaholicism. It's not a word.
That's so true.
Because if it's more expensive, then we think about it more. Like, I believe that. I know I do. If it's more expensive, I will think 3 times, maybe 4 times about it. Do I really want this? Do I really need this? What is this going to bring to me? What else can I wear with this? What else can I do with this? These kind of discussions. A $20 top? Oh, yeah, I'll get that.
Yeah, and then you'll get another one next week.
Yeah.
And that is definitely, I think it's better to buy quality as well. So, like, yeah, you spend more on a better quality piece that will last years instead of one season.
And only if you have the money to buy it.
Yes. Again, within your means. This is what's that thing called? That pay it later thing? What is that called?
Oh, God. There's so many things. There's so many now. There's so many. But the first one was Afterpay.
Afterpay. Okay. Yeah. So if you have a real problem with Afterpay, get rid of it. This is your intervention. Delete it from your app. Unsubscribe. I've never even had it. I don't even know what you do.
Pay it off first, because then you get interest.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Pay it all off and then, like, have a break.
Mm-hmm.
we've spoken to people who have real problems with this stuff. Like young people, I remember in the cafe, she was talking about it and it was a real problem. She was really stressed and worried about it, but she couldn't stop buying the dresses.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting because I know that this would have been a great thing for me back then. You know, when I was when I was addicted to shopping, I would have loved this thing.
Well, it's like a credit card.
Yes.
But you get like products. Easy approval. Yeah. Like, and it's only on certain things.
I'm actually in a Facebook group purely for research because I've never had Afterpay. I'm in a Facebook group and it's like Afterpay products or something. I actually think I was doing research like for like our business, like could we use Afterpay kind of thing? We wouldn't need to. But the things that people post in there is like, wow, like I just opened my Afterpay account and I've got an extra $1,000 in there. Has anyone else seen this happen? As in like their credit limit has gone up, or I should say their debt limit has gone up and they're really excited about it that they can now go and shop.
See, that really, as someone who was born a saver, that makes me feel so anxious and scared because, like, knowing that and, you know, when you're shopping and when you're, like, in that mood of, like, I'm just spend happy, like, that's a frightening place to be. And then you have that real down boom, that real downer of, like, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have spent that.
It's a similar feeling. I can assimilate it to, is that the right word? Yeah. To when I used to go out partying and buy drinks for people. And I'd be like, really, what is that? Like,
generous.
What did you just say? Spend happy, but like round happy. Another round on me.
Did
like,
you actually?
Like, you know, when you would feel like that because you feel really abundant. Man, I'm on top of the world. I've had like 10 drinks and I feel really good. I'm just going to like, I don't have work tomorrow. I'm just dead. Like, put it on my card, do this, do that.
Did you actually?
I feel like it's, like, similar to that.
Wow. See, I never was like that. I was like,
oh, you're going to buy me a drink? Great.
Well, it'd be like
another round on you, right?
See, this is, like, this is the world of feminism that I'm, like, back then I didn't know much about feminism.
Yeah. All I'm the a boy- feminist, but you can buy me a drink.
But all the boys, you can buy me a drink. Yep, that's the man's job.
Oh my.
But I know so many guys. I knew so many guys back then who would go into massive debt, credit card debt, simply from going out on a Thursday and Saturday night and buying rounds of drinks.
Yeah.
For random girls.
Yeah.
Like, so, that's what it was.
So this feeling of, like, they're spent happy. They're like, yeah, another round,
but it's because you're intoxicated as well. I know, it's so dangerous.
But that's what I mean. Buying the things, if you feel kind of that intoxication from the shops. You're like, yeah,
well,
I've got the perfume, I've got the clothes, I've got the headband, I need the shoes.
Well, okay, like imagine this. When you are walking into a mall, like now I feel almost sick. Like, okay, so we have Pacific Fair here on the Gold Coast. Mm. It's a very, like, beautiful shopping centre, really.
Oh, there's
you know?
A billboard that says, have a daycation.
You're
and it's a Pacific
kidding.
Fair billboard. I
You're
drove past
kidding.
The other day and I was like, what's a daycation? And then I looked closer and I was like, oh my, it's advertising pack fair.
Gee. It's like I would call a daycation a day at the beach, maybe.
But in saying that, I remember when I was 16 and we came up to the Gold Coast and we got dropped off at pack fair for a day of shopping.
It was the best day ever. We'd come home with bags.
My arms are so sore from carrying all the bags.
Oh, but yes, when you walk into the shops, there's marketing getting thrown at you, there's bright lights, there's the perfumes, the smells, the beautiful windows you just can't stop looking at, and you feel kind of like, well, this is what I feel now. I feel like, oh my God, like I need all this stuff to obviously be a good human. That's the ability and the danger of shopping and marketing. Uh-huh. Like, that's the power of marketing. If you don't have the self-awareness, you get sucked in.
And it's the power of the environment you're in.
Yeah.
You choose to put yourself in that shop.
I know.
And then you're at the shopping center. And then, look, you're getting affected by it. But, yeah, as you said, Emmy, it's really good that you can be aware of those feelings. Oh, there's those funny feelings, those same thoughts that come back in every time that tell me I need the new dress, that tell me I need that outfit, that tell me I need the new leggings. And I mean, I'll walk past Lululemon and I want everything.
Yeah, and I'll get something probably. And I mean, like, we're not against owning stuff. Like, I love clothes. Mm-hmm. I actually wish I knew what clothes would look the best mm-hmm. on me so I didn't have to do the shopping thing. Mm-hmm. So I think that's called, like, getting a stylist and, like, pick the clothes for me.
Yeah, I wish I had that too.
Yeah, like,
sometimes I feel like when I... You know what's even worse than being a shopaholic is when you actually want to – it's not worse. But you know when you want to buy something and you're ready – like, you're like, I need a new dress for this occasion or I want one, not need, I should say. I want one. I know exactly what I want. Okay, I'm going to go find it. You've probably seen it before.
Yeah.
And then you go and you just can't find it. Or it looks terrible on you.
Or it's like you don't go shopping anymore. Like, we barely go shopping.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay – what do you need? What do you need? Like, okay, I really need a new pair of jeans. I need this jacket. Yeah. Like, you know, because you do need clothes.
Yeah. Otherwise, you should will be naked.
Yes. And I mean, I will never be naked because I do have a full wardrobe.
You could do that if you wanted.
But I needed a few things and it is really frustrating. Mm. But this is where I think more mindfulness when it comes to shopping. Mm. So, yeah, like have your things that you need. Mm. Have your list. It's like, don't go out just to go shopping and you end up buying all this stuff that you don't really need. It's like, no, I know I need this, this, this. That's all I'm going
to
buy.
Yeah, and I think another thing is, like, don't be afraid to take a bit more time.
Yeah, have a think.
Because I think sometimes we go in and we're like, oh, we have to get all the things and we have to tick all the things off and buy this and buy that. This is where I think online shopping has actually really helped me.
Yeah.
In that sometimes I'll go and... to the shops and be like, oh, I think I need that. Do I like this? I'm not sure if I really like it. I'm going to think about it.
Mm.
Then I'll think about it and then I might buy it online. And usually you get a discount, by the way.
if your first purchase,
like that is the usual opt-in. So that's a plus. But also I've thought about it longer. It's a more conscious decision. Rather than just like buying all the things and thinking I need it.
And then whereas online shopping can be really dangerous for some people because it's like, hey, I have 24 hours a day access to the shop.
Well, I do know that during lockdown, that was a real problem and a real thing for people.
Oh, yeah.
In that we had all this time at home to ourselves with a computer and an internet connection and the shops were closed, but the online stores were wide open.
And I feel like what we really need to talk about is the obsession with it's contentment. That's what we need to talk about. Mm-hmm. We need to talk about how
to overcome it.
Yeah, like how to move through this obsession with needing the next and best trend of whatever it might be, whether it's clothing, housewares, whatever.
Whatever. Even
cars,
like,
even.
Yeah, cars, books, like
people. Mobile phones.
Yeah, like, oh gosh. Exactly, yeah.
Technology.
Technology is a big one.
Yeah.
And that scares me because the e-waste is huge.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so let's talk about it because we've definitely described if you're a shopaholic, you've been nodding along, or if you're a recovered shopaholic, you're like, oh, that was me too.
Or maybe you're like, maybe it's me, but I don't want to admit it. It's okay.
It's all right.
It's all right.
Yeah, so how did we overcome it, I guess, and how do we continue to remind ourselves in a world that is telling us that we need more, 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 that we need this brand and that brand and this dress and that dress and this perfume and that makeup and this skincare and this product.
And this house and this kind of life and these brands.
This linen and these curtains and this flooring and this
and
kitchen.
And this couch. That is an outrageous amount compared to this one that is
not so much amount compared to the one you have at home, which is perfectly fine. Yeah. So what do we do? How do we practice getting out of that mindset, that
wormhole and whirlwind
of feeling like to be a success? Because I think this is really what it comes down to. We have this underlying belief that to be seen as successful, we need X, Y, Z.
And we need to appear a certain way, maybe, whether that's your clothes, the house you live in, the handbag you have, the car you drive. I mean, even I can talk about something. We all bumped into someone at coffee the other day, and it was astounding, this, like, short conversation. What came out of her mouth? a Mercedes car drove by, parked right near us. Mm. Oh, that's a nice car. Mm. Brand new Mercedes. That's a nice car. Someone walked by in a beautiful outfit. Oh, look at her outfit. She just looks amazing. I need something like that.
All in between what was meant to be a coffee catch-up conversation.
It just was like, boom, one thing after another. And I realized then and there how far as individuals we've gone, like from not observing something and thinking I'm less than them. Because what I heard from her was, I need that. I need that.
Yeah.
And I was firstly excited.
That you don't think that.
Oh, my gosh, so excited. And realize that it's a sense of freedom. When you are not like that, when you don't look external to you and think you need to look like that or you wear that or own that, it's a sense of freedom and you can be yourself more. You have less suffering. You have less stress. Mm-hmm. Instead of thinking about what you lack, you think about what you have.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, and I think that that's such a – what a – and I think it's such an interesting thing because I don't – like, I'm talking about future me, but now me, like, I have the capability to buy a really nice car.
I know.
I could buy a really nice car. I'm not going to.
No, me either.
I have a beautiful, like, brand new little Toyota Yaris. I love it.
I know, right? It gets me
from A to B. It's safe.
I know.
I don't need anything more.
But that also is, like, our values, right? Like, a car is a vehicle to move us about.
Yeah, but I want to know, like, deep down, is it really that much of a value to a lot of people? I know some people love cars. Like, don't get me wrong. There are people who are car fanatics. They want the car.
Yeah.
They love the car. They love cleaning their car. They love making it shine. They very much value their car.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not me, and I don't know even if it's our cars are
filthy.
Yeah, I got to wash that
thing. I got to wash my car too.
It's terrible.
And yours smells like Chino.
At least it doesn't smell like Chino wee or poo on me.
Yeah, it's just dog.
Wet dog. Gross. So, yeah, that's what I want to know. Like, because I think sometimes people think they value it.
Well, I think they need to appear that they can afford something like that. Like, it's a brand. It's like it's a badge of something.
I feel more proud that I don't want it. Like, yeah. I feel more excited that I don't need to prove myself with a car.
Well, it's like I don't need to prove myself to anyone. Like, that's,
ever.
Yeah. And
with anything.
And I think that's a great place to be. It's a really good place to be.
That's another conversation. So, yeah, let's talk about the practice that we can welcome in when we find ourselves feeling like we need this, that we need that, that I need another dress, that I need new shoes, that I need a new car, that I need, yeah, we've gone through the list, right? So how can we get ourselves out of that thought pattern that is really such, we've taught ourselves that we need more in order to be more?
I think a lot of the time it is simple mindset shifts.
Mm-hmm.
I know one big one is contentment, the practice of contentment and acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, really getting real with yourself. Like, get real. Like, let's get real.
Mm.
If the world was going to end in 2 weeks.
Mm. Quite possibly could.
It could. You never know. If you remember that we're not here forever, and that also means the people you love, your most favorite people, your most cherished people, they are not here forever. Does all this stuff become important or less important? Mm. And I think that's what helps us when we get in touch with reality.
Mm. So true.
It's like, let's get real for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually working my life away. This might not me, but like if you are, like, what do you do for work? Do you love your work? Okay, you're swapping your time for your money and then you're choosing to spend your money on this excessive amount of stuff. Wait a minute. Something's wrong there.
Mm.
If you're complaining about your work and you're still spending up big, like, that's a time to check in. So yeah, it's like having the awareness and checking in with yourself, getting real with yourself, realizing that more is not more, that more does not make you a better human.
Or happier human.
Your brand that you wear with your on your handbag, it doesn't make you a better human or a happier human.
Yeah, and I think it's like the reasoning behind your purchase. Like, for me, a handbag needs to be good quality and it needs to last, because I don't want to go shopping for a new one.
And I want it to break. But I don't
care what the brand is.
Yeah.
I care what it's made of, and I care, like, how it's made and where it's made.
Yeah.
But I don't really care if it's some massive brand or not some designer brand. I don't care what the brand is.
I actually am rather against designer brands. Mm. Like, I just see that as everything that's wrong with the planet now. Like,
I do question, because why is one handbag $5,000 and another $300?
Yeah, because – and it's, like, exactly the same on paper, on material.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing business.
Yeah, well done,
you guys. We can admire the brand.
Yeah.
We can really admire that from a business perspective,
yeah,
but I'm not one to get sucked into that.
Mm.
It's a really interesting topic, and it's connected to humans' psyches.
Mm.
It's a psychological thing.
Mm.
It's whatever you grew up with as well, like that impacts you.
Yeah, so I think when we're talking about, like, acceptance and contentment of, like, everything that you have, I think a really easy way to begin to feel that, because it's not as simple as being like, I accept what I have. I am content. Like,
content.
I said content.
I thought you said contempt.
You are not contempt. I know what that is now, because, like, I've been watching so many, like, law movies. Uh-huh. Contempt of court. You are content. Which is confusing, because there's also the word content.
I know.
And they're spelt the same.
If you, like, don't speak English.
Maybe contented.
That sounds awful, though.
It's not a word.
It's an awful word. It sounds so bad.
Feeling contented.
No, contentment.
Contentment.
Yeah.
I feel contentment of what I have. So there's this acceptance and contentment of what you have. How do we get there, though? And I think the easiest way to get there is gratitude.
Yeah.
Like, of realizing what we already have in front of us, and realizing that what we have is already in abundance of what we need.
It's already excessive. If you're listening from Australia, which most of our audience is listening, if you live, like, a privileged life, even if that is middle class, it's privileged.
Yeah.
Like, we have enough.
Yeah.
More
than enough.
But I also want to add, it's okay to want more for your life.
Yes.
But it's really important to check in if it's, like, what it is.
Of course it's okay to want more. Yeah, but what are you wanting?
Yeah, it's not clothes.
And is that thing that you want more of, when you get it, because you could easily get the thing that you want.
Yeah.
How do you feel?
Yeah.
Do you feel good? Do you feel better? Do you feel happier? Do you feel more alive? Or do you feel like, now I have this thing to clean, and now I just want another one. Now there's a new iPhone. I better go get that one.
Yeah, it's like you just want to hop off the hamster wheel once and for all, and still know that you can still dress really nicely. Yes. You can still drive a great car. You can still have the newest mobile, but maybe you don't need the next model straight away. It's like, keep that one for a few years.
Wait, like, 3 models.
Yeah.
I think we waited, we had 7s, and then we upgraded to 11s. So we waited 4 models.
Yeah, wow. It's just like connecting and being more conscious. Mm. And then as well, acknowledging that environmental issues. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really big one. If you're into climate, we all are into climate.
I hope you are.
We all should be. And I mean, I'm not going to say I'm a greenie, like, I'm not. There's so much more work I could do, but have that awareness in your mind when you do shop.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll help you too. It's like, wait a minute, like, this is making an impact on the environment. This purchase is making an impact, even though it might be small, even though it's nothing to you, it adds up from a worldwide perspective.
So true.
Hmm.
I like this episode.
Also, one last thing. I think another one is, you know, especially like the clothes and the brands, it's that concentration on the external and how others perceive us. So it's external validation. Oh, they won't be my friends unless I wear this.
That's not the clothes, Jess. That's the car. That's the house. Oh, that's yeah. That's the renovation. That's and even like what coffee cup you drink out of.
Yeah, so true. And also, like, I know there comes a, like, there's a line, like, okay, so you're in a corporate job maybe. Yeah, like, you do need to dress a certain way.
Unfortunately,
like you can't wear, like, jean shorts and flip-flops and, like, your shirt from 10 years ago. Like, maybe you can now because you're working from home. Yeah. And maybe you should just try and see. Maybe they'll see like it. See if
anyone actually even says anything. Because I remember when I worked in government, right at the end, I would wear my Lululemon three-quarter pants. They weren't tight. They were, like, more, like, baggy.
They're like cargo pants.
Yeah. And I would wear little slip-on ballet flats and, like, a knit.
But you looked really cute. I looked
adorable. And no one questioned it. One time someone was like, is that a Lululemon brand? And I was like, no. Definitely yes. Not an upside down new thingy.
Nope, it was. I had them as once well. We both wore them.
Maybe I should color it in. No one sees it. But then I just didn't care and then I quit.
So that's so funny. Oh, honestly.
Yeah, so go ahead and try that because no one questioned me. I worked in corporate government job. It was so comfy.
Lululemon, best pants ever. But yeah, you don't need every Lululemon pair of pants.
No. Though. You know what? I don't want every Lululemon pair. Some I do not like. Some I find are very not, they just don't look good on me and they don't feel good on me.
Also, you just don't need them.
Yeah. I'll only wear one type.
A line.
If you're wondering, yeah. And I think, yeah, that's an interesting thing to just check in on. Like, why are you buying the thing? I think that's a great question to ask. Why am I buying this? Is it for me or is it for something else? Is it for for how I want to be perceived.
Ooh,
is it so I fit in?
Exactly. Like, check in your reasons.
Inverted commas, guys.
Fit in, yeah.
Fit in.
Let's end where we started, just quickly talking about Christmas and shopping for other people.
Oh, this is a good one.
Yeah.
I should have talked about this more.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe chat with your people and decide to make a change if it's time to make a change. If the presents are excessive, check in and create a budget. If the presents put too much pressure on someone because maybe they have less money, tell them it's okay that you don't buy presents.
Budget is a great idea. Yeah. Even if it's like, you know, it's not a big budget.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to say what amount because big, little is all
it doesn't matter what budget.
But I think a budget is always a good idea because it really can create anxiety, especially if you're in a relationship where you don't have open communication about money and, like, gifts.
I
remember when I was, like, in my first relationship, it was almost felt like we had to outdo each other.
Yeah.
I'm going to get the best present. Like, I'm going to get this, 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 and, like, more, more, more. More was more.
I know. For sure. I actually,
feel really sick and I would feel really ill about it and I would spend all this money and I would feel bad about spending all my hard-earned money on someone else. And I was like, why am I even doing this?
Yeah, so it's like the present was not about love.
No.
It was about something awful.
It was like, you will think I'm the best girlfriend because I bought you these presents.
So that's awful, really. It's missing the whole point.
Holidays should be about love and just spending time.
Well, I remember I was in a relationship where he would buy excessive presents for me, but he never had the money. So it would be like he would buy a laptop, but it would probably be his mum and dad's money. I would always feel bad because I'm like, thanks for my great present, but I know you probably didn't buy this. Yeah. I remember he bought me a holiday once and, like, he literally hadn't paid it off, like, the day we were going and his mum and dad had to do it.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And that's because, he thought that how to buy your love and attention was through a material thing, which is not the case. It's not true.
Relationships really bring up a lot with money. And I tell you what, I've been in many different relationships with people who have different amounts of money and different relationships with money. And it's such an interesting thought. Mm-hmm. And just to see how humans interact with money, like, I really quite enjoy observing. Yeah. And also going through my stuff of knowing that money does not equal happiness, mm-hmm. that more is not more, that you don't need all that. You don't need to tick all these boxes that you've put on your list that you need to tick all these boxes. Actually, you might not need to.
I think the best thing, the best lesson that we've ever had was being young and having, you know, good jobs, as in good jobs, high-paying jobs, at a very young age, then quitting those jobs and not having much money,
yeah.
then building a business to quite a lot of money, and then stopping that part of the business and starting a new business and running out of money.
Yeah.
And then building a stable business with limitless growth. And now we're at that place.
Yeah.
And I think what has been the biggest lesson from these peaks and troughs, these ebbs and flows, these highs and lows and these abundance amounts and then nothing, like zero, literally zero, guys. We're not... Actually, I'm going to say minus because we had to borrow money.
Oh, that was a bit stressful.
Yeah. Mm. But what I'm saying is the happiness level was not that much. The happiness level wasn't even higher when it was in abundance. The time when we had the minus was like, oh, crap. How are we going to figure this out? And we figured it out and it was a great lesson for us.
Yeah.
But I wasn't unhappy. I wasn't. Like, I was stressed and, like, I would not recommend running out of money. I would recommend making sure you have things in place and you have cash flow forecasts, and we can talk about this on another episode. But I wasn't unhappy.
I know. And that, I think that is a great lesson, that money does not equal happiness. Mm. And I know people throw it around. They say that up to $100,000 in an annual salary, like, your happiness will grow.
Yeah.
But as soon as you hit that 100K mark, no further happiness. Actually, the more money you have can actually create unhappiness. I think that's such a broad subject. Can't really just say it's the money. It's probably, like, the stresses that came with more of that money, which, as in, like, the work you're doing or, like, I don't know, whatever. But interesting.
Mm. And I'm definitely not going to agree with that, because I know that when I was earning 80-plus K in the government and then I went to earning zilch in the business, I was way happier leaving that job.
There's too many variables. Yeah. Yeah, it's
so,
like,
much happier.
It's like actually how you earn your money is more important.
Mm-hmm. So true. And I love
that. Than the amount of money you have.
So true.
Ooh.
And, you know, next week let's talk more on, like, earning money. I think this is an interesting thing to talk about. And, like, you know, I feel in this – kind of world that we're moving into, especially with what's happened this year, is that our jobs are less stable. In what we thought were stable jobs, which we always knew no job is stable, guys, like, governments can just, like, tumble and you be made redundant. This has happened before, but you kind of feel like, oh, I've got this full-time paying job, it's stable. Now, what has COVID and the pandemic showed us? No, it's not.
And also, like, maybe that whole, like, idea of stability has been a reason for you staying in a job that you actually don't like.
Exactly.
And maybe it's time to check in and be like, hey, wait a minute, everything can change in an instant. Whatever I knew before is not true now. Mm. So maybe it's time to think a little broadly, differently. And that's what we're going to talk about next week.
Next week, we're going to talk about multiple income streams and how to bring them into your life. Not so you can shop more.
Yeah, no. So you can create financial freedom and, like, I don't know, just freedom. Freedom.
Create so you freedom. Can really create more stability.
Also, and it's not about MLM. No offense if you're a multi-level marketer. That's not what we're talking about.
Absolutely.
So don't worry. We're not trying to rope you into anything.
I like that you thought that people were, though.
No.
People would, you think?
Yeah,
think that?
Maybe.
God, no, guys.
We're like hard no. It. It's like a hard no.
Any messages we've ever received, hundreds of them, please stop sending them to us.
I even got one the other day. I just deleted it. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be mean, but we're just not into multi-level marketing.
I'm so happy for you to do it if that's what you do and that's your jam. Go do it. Be amazing. Don't ask me to do it because I'm going to say no.
Boom. All right.
Okay, but next week I'm really excited to talk about
me too. I'm already excited.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.